to make six figures or more providing court-mandated classes like anger management, DUI, or shoplifting prevention? If so, go to courtmandatedtraining.com and sign up for the free webinar that will help you get started, even if you have no experience. So if you want to get that bag, if you want to get some money and do it the right way, go to courtmandatedtraining.com to learn more. Again, that's courtmandatedtraining.com. Yo, are you single and ready to mingle? If you are a single 90s hip-hop lover, you need to check out the brand new dating app called Hood Love. Now, Hood Love is designed for singles just like you, where you can get your Mac on, you can get your freak on, you can get your date on, you can get your hookup on, or whatever you want to do with the opposite sex, make it happen. So go to Hood Love. It's available right now on Google Play and the App Store. Hood Love, get your Mac on, get your freak on, get your date on right now. Yo, cupcake season is right around the corner, family, and you need to get your fragrance game all up in order. So you need to check out ashkicking.com. That's a black-owned business that sells all natural health and beauty products, and it also has fragrance products. You can get beauty products such as body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, unique incense burners, incense sticks, scented candles, and so much more. So again, you need to check out ashkicking, that's K-I-C-K-I-N, .com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail? Or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
Your mom's a
hoe. What's up, guys? We're back. Welcome back to Tariq Radio. I am your host. Glad to have y'all tuning in. Ready to chop it up on this beautiful day. I'm out here in Los Angeles broadcasting live. And I'm so glad to have everybody tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, guys, HC5, Hidden Colors 5, we're looking at August 1st for the release of HC5. We're looking at August 1st in a couple of months. HC5, Hidden Colors 5, the highly anticipated film. This is going to be the documentary film of the year. And the release date in theaters worldwide, we're looking at August 1st. We're just trying to get confirmation from some of the major theaters, but family, this is going to have to be a family event. You got to take your whole family. You got to take your whole community. Y'all need to make sure busloads of kids and students and churches are going to see Hidden Colors 5. This film is so needed right now in the climate that we're in. Hidden Colors 5 is the must-see movie of the decade, not just the year. We have to see this movie. The family has to see it. This thing is going to be a global phenomenon, and you are not going to want to miss it. So y'all mark that on your calendar dates. Again, we're just trying to get hard confirmation from all the major theaters, and once we get that confirmation from all the major theaters, then all of the other theaters, and I work with all the other promoters in some of these other cities to make it happen. But HC5, August 1st, we want to get some of that August 1st energy, that August. I've always talked about the month of August, how that's very significant with black people of African descent. That's a very significant month that creates a certain energy. We're tackling this thing from a socio-political, spiritual all aspects, we want this thing to line up. We want the whole thing to line up. HC5 people asking in the chat room, it's coming to St. Louis. Yes, it's going to be in almost every major city. So it's going to be in your city, guys. We'll have a list of all the theaters that it will be in on the HiddenColorsFilm.com website. So stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for that. A lot of stuff going on. Also, yo, we got a that single. A lot of folks have been asking about. There's a single that Mink Slide has with the group The APX. Those are my folks. They have an album coming out next month, and we're on the album. And the single that we did with them, Your Touch, that's going to be on sale next Friday. You guys can get the pre-sales going on pretty soon, within the next couple of days. But it's a hot single. Yeah, you guys don't want to miss that. That's going to be next Friday. You can get that on iTunes, Google Play. You can probably get the pre-sales probably tomorrow. I'll look into that for the family. I will look into that. But anyway, man, a lot of stuff we're going to cover. Today's show, we're going to talk about the real-life Handmaid's Tale. And I'll get on that a little bit later. There's a few things in the news that I wanted to knock out. Have y'all seen commercials for the new show? That's a spinoff of Black-ish. It's called Mixed-ish. They're doing a show called Mixed-ish. And Tracee Ellis Ross is going to be centered around her character. And they're talking about the hardships of growing up as a mixed person. You're not white, you're not black, but you're mixed. In the trailer, it was a very interesting trailer for the show, but we got to be very careful because of that, because the white supremacists are very desperate right now. And one thing that I knew they were going to really definitely try with black society, they're going to try to cause further confusion by trying to promote colorism differences. The white supremacists are very good at divide and conquer when it comes to us. They know how to take little slight differences that we have among ourselves and then use that to their advantage. But the trailer was basically them going to school and the black kids didn't like them and the white kids didn't like them. So they were in their own little world. It's the tragic mulatto story. It's the story of the tragic mulatto. And usually the tragic mulatto story is a crock of BS. And I see the same thing with a lot of immigrants, a lot of African and Caribbean immigrants. They have the tragic black immigrant story, which is a crock of BS too. And it's a crock of BS to the point they make it seem like, well, black kids didn't want nothing to do with us, which is a lie. And I'm saying this right now, this whole narrative that black kids don't want nothing to do with the mulatto kids or the mixed kids or the immigrant kids. That's a lie. Because they're immigrants or because they're mixed and the black kids didn't want nothing to do with them. That is a lie. Because truth be told, look, a lot of so-called mixed kids, most of y'all just look like light-skinned Negroes. Most of you just look like light-skinned Negroes. There's a lot of light-skinned Negroes in black society. Don't nobody have a problem with them. But it's always this narrative of black folks didn't like them because they were mixed. You're just another light-skinned Negro. In white society, this is how they look at you. They look at you as a light-skinned Negro. So the problem is, in your mind, you're walking around thinking that you're different from other black folks. And black folks treat you funny style based on how you carry yourself with that mindset. Let's be very clear. We have a lot of light-skinned Negroes running around. That's nothing new. But you guys, y'all teach, see, these mulatto children, a lot of times they might have a bedwinch mammy and a suspected white supremacist dad, and that the parents are telling these kids that they're different. The parents of these mulatto children are oftentimes telling them that they're different from all the other Negroes. So y'all go to these schools and y'all start acting a little funny style, and then folks start saying, okay, I ain't rocking with you. You funny. You sound, you know, you on some weirdo stuff right there, bro. You need to bounce, dude. See, the problem is you're upset because you're not accepted by white society. And you have contempt for black society because you are almost white and your black bloodline messed it up. And black folks can feel your contempt. Let's be very clear. Black folks can feel your contempt. We've always accepted light-skinned black folks. I don't like that narrative that black folks are somehow discriminative towards light-skinned so-called mulatto people when nobody knows that you're mulatto unless you say something. And that goes double with immigrants. I've heard black immigrants say, well, when I was an immigrant, I came over here. And a lot, this is another thing. A lot of times they were born here. So there's no differentiating characteristics about an African or Caribbean immigrant. They'll say, well, man, the black kids didn't really accept me, and the white kids didn't accept me. I had to do my own thing. That's BS. How do they know that you're an immigrant? You're not speaking with an accent. A lot of times y'all were born here, so you're not going to school speaking with no particular accent. Again, because I've heard a lot of black immigrants say this, that the black kids treated them funny. How? What was it about you that made you stand out? Nobody knows you're a damn immigrant. Nobody knows you're an immigrant unless you just came fresh off the boat and you dress in a dashiki and y'all don't even dress like that over there. Wherever you came from, nobody knows you're an immigrant. So again, with them, those immigrant coon parents are sitting up telling them you're different from these Akadas. When you go to school, you do not associate with those Akadas. So you go to school with that mentality and people can sense it from you. People can sense the garbage that your dumb coon Sambo parents have put in your brain, and people can sense the vitriol that you have, and then they treat you accordingly. See, people try to get funny style with black folks, and then when we check them, then they want to act like victims. No, y'all step in the room hating, being funny style, and then we check you on it. And all of a sudden, I am not accepted. The black people need a xenophobia. Xenophobia. Sit your ass down, Umduge. And get some act right. But I digress. But again, we got to be very careful with that mixture stuff because, see, a lot of the mulattoes, they've been looking for a lifeline from white mommy, white daddy to throw a different racial category out there so they can run away from the blackness and try to be something else. But y'all better understand, if you are a mulatto, all you Meghan Markles and all those people out there, look how they treat them. They go through hell within white supremacist society. See, the thing is, the mulatto class, they might get a little more clout within black circles, but in white circles, no, they don't. In white circles, they're monitored very, very heavily. They're very passive-aggressively hostile towards those mulattoes, almost can pass black folks. They're very, very hostile towards them, even on a passive-aggressive level, because those are the ones who can sneak those black genes in. Dr. Wilson talked about that before. They're real funny style about them light-skinned who can pass Negroes. They're very hostile towards them, and they know that. That's why these Negroes are mad at black folks, not the white people you're trying to cuddle up with and be like. You're mad because you're not all the way white. You dig? And people try to make it seem like the one drop rule is somehow passe. The one drop rule is alive and well today. Man, the one drop rule is completely enforced today. That one drop rule, meaning if you got one drop of black blood, that makes you black. That's that rule is being highly enforced. Don't let them fool you. Don't let them fool you at all. See, the thing is, they understand how to use the darker skinned people who want to disassociate themselves with blackness. They know how to use that to their advantage. They know how to use that to their advantage big time. And they know how to use these immigrants to their advantage. And the anti-black vitriol to their advantage. They're masters of doing that. They've always known. They've been knowing how to do that for the last 500 years when the Europeans and the Portuguese and the Spanish, when they started to go into Africa, they knew how to use tribal differences and ethnic differences while they subjugated all the people. They knew what they were doing. They knew how to use certain things against us. Hell, forget about Africa. Even when, and I talked about this many times before, even when the Moors were in Spain, in Europe, they knew how to use little differences to eventually run them out of Europe. And they've been using the same tactics for the last 500 years, and we still have not figured that out. We still have not figured it out. Now, you got some goofball Negroes, particularly immigrants. Now, immigrants, they'll be the first one to try to say biracial is not black. They love saying that. Now, black folks in America, we don't think like that because we understand what the game is. We know what it is. A lot of Negroes who are immigrants, they love to say that biracial ain't black and certain things ain't black. And if you got this going on, you ain't really black. That's immigrant talk because that's how they think in their countries. A lot of them come from Cuban communities where you can be dark as hell and you think you white. You dark as hell and you think you something else. See, that's immigrant talk. And a lot of Africans have that thing. Well, I am not black. You jet black. I am not black. I am Somalian. So you think you something else. See, that's immigrant talk. See, we understand we live in the belly of the beast. So we understand how racism works for the most part. So we know it don't matter how light or dark you are in a system of white supremacy. You're just different flavors of Negro. We understand that. But again, they like to use the dark Negroes who think they're something else. They use them as minions of white supremacy. Just like the Proud Boys. Now that people have recognized them as being a white supremacist organization, they got one guy who's the Miami president of the Proud Boys, which is the Proud Boys is just basically a white supremacist terrorist organization at this point. I mean, they're on all types of watch lists. The members are extremely violent. They've been connected with so much racial violence. And because of that, what they like to do, they like to prop up a black person. So they got some guy named Enrique down there. He's the face of the Proud Boys now. He's this Afro-Cuban. So they like to hide their racism behind one of their minions. They say, well, we're not racist. We got this Afro-Cuban. We got this person of color right here, but it's a person of color who's anti-black. Same thing with the Bill Cosby case. Remember they had that woman, Lily, whatever her name is, running around with that big ass afro. She was a Cuban immigrant too. She's running around with a big ass Wakanda afro, fake crying all on TV when they were trying to do that lynching of Cosby. So they knew that a lot of black Americans weren't going to go down with the con like that. They knew they couldn't get any black American females to really get down with the con game. So they gladly got some immigrant coons to do it for them. You dig? So we got to understand how the game goes. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. What else is happening in the news? Another case that happened, there was some hood rat out there in, I think, Virginia. Her daughter, she had like a little 17-month-old daughter. She left the daughter with her dusty boyfriend and the boyfriend raped the damn kid, and the baby died. The baby had all types of internal, I don't even like talking about it, but just the fact that this bummy hood rat broad left her baby with this dude and he did that. And if y'all are in Virginia, y'all probably know what I'm talking about. And it's stuff like that I don't like to discuss too much, but it's something that happens. And the dusty ass boyfriend raped this child. This is a 17-month-old. And some of the details just seem funny. Why would she leave her baby in a hotel with this dude? This happened in Richmond. Okay, chat room. Thanks, man. Yeah, that dude, man. The streets need to get at that dude heavy before he even gets processed in jail. The streets should have handled that dude. And with her, the hood rat baby mom, the very next day, her ass had a GoFundMe page up. So stuff like that looks funny style to me, man. The day this happens, or the day afterward, you got a goddamn GoFundMe page popping. And what you got him in the room with your kid for? You know, we got to ask questions like that. I ain't going to make no accusations, but I digress as far as that. And speaking of molestation, there's this white dude who's an actor in Hollywood named Isaac Cappy. He's been in a few little small bit parts in movies. Well, Isaac, man, this white boy was exposing a lot of pedophiles in Hollywood. He was dropping all types of names. He had a YouTube channel where he was dropping all types of names on pedophiles in Hollywood and different pedophile rings. And this week, they found him in a suicide death. They said he committed suicide. You know, he got up out of there, quote unquote. But why is it the minute people start exposing these pedophile rings in Hollywood, all of a sudden they end up missing, or they got a quote unquote suicide then popped off? Every single time these people get called out for their pedophilia, all of a sudden somebody they end up missing and they didn't commit it, quote unquote suicide. I mean, this dude was naming names, big names. So that's what I'm saying with the buck breaking. I've been talking about that while I'm going to be doing the movie Buck Breaking next. And again, that's coming right after HC5. So, we got to be careful, but we're going to have to put the truth out there. We got to be careful, but we got to put the truth out there. So anyway, let's get into what we're talking about on today's show. We're talking about the real life Handmaid's Tale. Now, the Handmaid's Tale, for those who don't know, that's a television show. I think it's on Hulu. And this television show, it's about some futuristic society where the United States had some kind of civil war. And now there's a male ruling class, and the women have been reduced to servants. They've been reduced to handmaids. And the handmaids basically have to have children. They force these women to have children for the ruling male elite. And I've talked about this before when I first heard about the series about a year or so ago. And remember, in Hollywood, they tell you what the hell the deal is before they execute it. So they were letting people know what the deal was then. They try to put their codes and their messages in their movies. And understand, the white supremacists, they've weaponized everything. They don't let anything go to waste. They don't let their entertainment go to waste. They use it as a form of propaganda, as they should. We have to understand and start thinking like that, to be honest. We have to start thinking like that. Their entertainment is used for empowerment. Everything about their entertainment, it is to be used as a form of empowerment. See, black folks, we be entertaining just to be entertaining, just to be cutting the damn food, just to be seen. We get on social media and act a damn fool, do all types of silly nonsense for the sole purpose of being seen. Their entertainment in the dominant white society is all about propaganda and messages. Even if you think something is silly, there's a message in it. There's a message in it. Even in their cartoons, they put messages in it. Somebody mentioned Mr. Ratburn, the cartoon Mr. Ratburn. What's the cartoon Mr. Ratburn is on? It was some rat on some cartoon, and they made the rat gay. The rat is marrying a dude. And understand, the Mr. Ratburn character, it's a brown-skinned rat, okay? Author, the show is Author. Now, this is a brown-skinned rat. So the color coordination and the color association, you associate that with brown skin, a black person. So you better, these people use cartoons to get their messages out. Just a few days ago, I was talking about how they had the baby cartoon where the white baby had two white parents, a man and a woman. The black babies had a lesbian couple as the parent, and the black boy had two gay black men as his parent. So this is propaganda. This is propaganda. Kids look at things, you look at colors. You associate things by colors first. So you don't understand socio-political stuff first. Children understand color coordination first. That's very important to get into the subconscious subliminal mind. So showing a brown-skinned rat as gay, that's to promote a certain agenda for the subconscious mind. That's propaganda, big time. And that's a form of warfare. That is a form of warfare. Understand that. And the warfare is from top to bottom. The warfare is all over. The kids, men, women, children, and that's what we have to understand. And with warfare, there's going to be propaganda. You can't have propaganda. You can't have warfare without thorough propaganda first. But The Handmaid's Tale, again, it's about these women being forced to have children. Women, their rights are being taken away from them, and they're working for and being servants for these white male elitists. Now, this week, they put out an article saying that the U.S. birth rate has declined at the lowest in the last 32 years. It's at a 32-year low for the U.S. birth rate. These articles started circulating a couple of days ago heavy. We've already known that the birth rate has been dropping. Now, what they're not saying in these articles, they're not specifically saying white birth rates, but what they mean the white birth rates are declining. These are white birth rates they're talking about. And they're trying to be codified in the article. In the article, they're saying the birth rate for most racial groups, and look at the word most racial, meaning basically white and Asian, the birth rate for most racial groups are declining steeply. They didn't say all, they said most. No, what they mean were white and Asian. Because understand, even in China, their birth rate is down too. In India, places like that, the birth rate is kind of stagnant. The only place on the planet where the birth rate is thriving is really Africa. And over here with black people in America, our birth rates are fine. There's nothing wrong with our birth rates. So their birth rates are rapidly declining as we speak. At the same time, they put out these articles about the birth rates declining. And what they're doing in all of these articles, one thing I want y'all to notice, they make it a point to show lily white babies in the articles. And all these articles about the birth rates dropping,
They don't want to say the word white because they don't want to get on a white supremacist agenda, which they are. They don't want to seem weak. So they're using, again, color association. So they make sure in all the articles about the birth rates dropping, they make sure the babies are lily white, or they'll show a pregnant belly of a white woman. They make sure that the association by color is very clear. In the article, they're showing that these white birth rates are at a steep decline, meaning that the people are going extinct, because a lot of times you can't really reverse that. Now, at the same time they did this, in multiple states, same day, they started to put these very strict bans on abortion. Georgia was first. They made it completely illegal to get an abortion in Georgia. Then Alabama, they made it illegal, and they said even in rape and incest, you cannot get an abortion in these states. If you get an abortion in those states, that's going to be life in prison. You'll go to jail for murder after 8 weeks, I think. I think after they find a heartbeat after 8 weeks. They even said if you leave the state and go get one and come back, you can be charged. And today in Missouri, they just made it illegal to get an abortion. And more states are going to follow suit. Now, understand, this is to get the white women in line. These abortion bans, that is to get the white women in line. Just like in The Handmaid's Tale, they're making these white women say, look, you're going to have some white babies. You are going to get out here and have white babies. Some people said 6 weeks. No, I've heard in some states said 8 weeks from what I heard. But this is to get white women in line. This is about getting white women on top of the game to kind of smack white women around and get them ready and get them prepped up to make them do their part to help in the system of white supremacy, because the white supremacists are desperate. What they're going to try to do, and I've seen them already try to do this, they're going to try to galvanize black women to help them fight to reverse these laws. And sisters, don't fall for the okey-doke. They're running around talking about, well, these abortions, this abortion ban will disproportionately affect black women. They're already talking that talk. It's the white supremacist women. They want black women to come save them. I'm saying, sisters, do not. They're talking about all this women's rights, all woman's body, women's rights. Oh, look at what they're doing to women's rights. All of you in the dominant society can go to hell as far as that women's rights talk. That fake concern about black women. A black woman was gunned down in Texas this week like a damn dog, and nobody lifted a finger to do anything to bring justice or punish the race soldier who did it. All you can hold your own nuts. You don't give a damn about the well-being, the health, or the livelihood of black women. You have not brought any justice to the Sandra Blands of the world or the Rekia Boyds of the world. You do not care about black women. So do not ask black women to come save you. And don't ask black people to come save you. Hold your own nuts. See, now y'all gonna have to deal with the fallout from big bad white man. See, y'all wanted to maintain white supremacy, and the thing is, with white supremacy, abuse of women and children within white society, that comes with it. That's a side effect of white supremacy, because see, you need the white supremacist male to use violence to maintain order, and that violence oftentimes spills over to the white woman and the white children. So y'all hold your own nuts. See, they've always had that kind of relationship with us. They love white supremacy. They just don't like the abuse that comes their way. And they want us to save them. No, no, no. Black folks, we gonna be all right. We'll be all right. We got to be careful. If you're down there in some of those states, black folks, you just got to be careful, which we need to be careful anyway. Because, see, they don't mind having the anti-abortion laws and there's more black children being born, because they got a remedy for that, too. See, that's what the vaccines are for, by the way. Notice at the same time, they got these anti-abortion laws popping. They have this mandatory vaccination thing going on. And they know that these vaccines disproportionately harm black people more. That's why they're pushing it. Vaccines are poison. Vaccines at this point, they're taking people offline, or they're banning certain words to trend on social media, because people are so fully aware of how dangerous these vaccines are. If you mention something negative about vaccines, they'll ban it off social media. I think YouTube won't even let you put up negative videos about vaccines no more. I'm telling you, this stuff is dangerous, and people know that it's poison. And a lot of folks are rejecting it and speaking out against it, and they're forcing it on you. That's some Nazi Germany stuff, where they were poisoning the people out there before they exterminated large groups of them. Those vaccines are very dangerous. So you see the documentary Vax out here in California, in certain districts, particularly where there's high concentrations of black people, they're trying to get these laws and bills passed that makes it mandatory to take these damn vaccines, and you can't get a doctor to opt you out of it. They're working on these laws right now, and they're doing it in very specific areas. So yeah, they don't mind more black folks being born, because they're gonna get those vaccines on you, and they're gonna neutralize a lot of mental growth and other types of growth. And then they'll use that as justification to funnel you into a jail system. So these people got a lot of stuff mapped out. This is why we got to be hella on code right now. We got to be extremely on code. See, understand, in white society, they can skirt around certain things. See, in white society, they share information that they don't share with anybody else. They can get out of getting shots and vaccines. That's why, again, they're making these vaccine shots mandatory in certain districts. Be very clear on that. Be very, very clear on that. Yeah, shout out to my brother RZA Islam. He's on top of that stuff out here, big time, where they're trying to get those laws passed in certain districts out here. But the white supremacists, these people are dying out. And right now, they're very desperate. So they got to do everything they can do in order to survive. And the thing is, the reason they're dying out, they're coming up with all of these BS reasons why the birth rate is so low, and these little white supremacist enclaves talking about, well, there's people in white society who are trying to hold off on having children because of their career. Do you know what crock of BS that is? That is a crock of BS. That's a crock of BS, family. The reason why the birth rates are declining so much, that's because people in the dominant white society who live in these white supremacist enclaves, because if you live in segregated neighborhoods, by definition, you are a suspected white supremacist, because that's what segregation is for, to protect and shield white supremacists who have maldistributed resources in their community and to protect that from outsiders, i.e. black folks. So what happens is these people live in these little segregated enclaves, and then they get into ancestral relationships, or incestuous, I'm sorry, I just made up a word, but incestuous relationships. It's inevitable that if you live in these little segregated pockets, you know, we know in middle America, these white folks be laying up with their cousins and uncles and having babies with their brothers, and we know that. Do you understand the neurological diseases that come from that? Living in these little segregated pockets where everybody's banging each other and procreating with each other and their cousins and families and everybody's inbred. Understand that these little pockets, these little hillbilly towns and cities around the country and counties, understand you don't have new people moving into these little dirtbag places. Nobody's new. Nobody new is moving in. Who in the hell is trying to move to some of these little white supremacist mayonnaise neighborhoods in Indiana and Montana and South Dakota? Who the hell wants to move there? People move out, and then you have the same people who've been there for years, and then they start laying up with each other to keep it white. And then you get the neurological diseases that come from that. Nobody's moving into these little mayonnaise pockets, these little trailer parks all over. Who the hell wants to move there? So they have to lay up with each other in order to keep the population white. I want y'all to just take a drive through middle America one time. There are some weird looking ass people out there. Look at the Honey Boo Boo show, the Mama June. Take a good look at them. That right there is middle America. America is full of that. The hills have eyes. There are some weird looking ass folks out there. All that inbreeding. Go up to West Virginia and Kentucky and all these places. You see some weird looking folks. You understand? And they're dying off because of the neurological diseases. And then on top of that, you put the drugs on top of it. The drug use is rampant, and they keep trying to hide that fact. And then on top of that, you have the diseases that comes from the drug use, like the STDs and the venereal diseases and the AIDS. As we saw in Coachella, they've been trying to keep quiet about that. All those people who came to Coachella who spread diseases, all those white people who went to Coachella, and there were thousands upon thousands upon thousands of cases of venereal diseases reported by people who went to Coachella, which was 99% white. You understand? These folks are diseased the hell up. That's what's going on. So that's why they're dying off. That's the universe cleansing. You're not supposed to have a system of white supremacy where people live in segregated pockets of white supremacist neighborhoods where they hoard all the resources. See, the universe and nature has a way of cleansing itself. That's something that that's not supposed to exist, that type of mentality. That's what I like about the universe. The universe knows how to correct itself. When something is unjust happening, nature corrects it. You understand? You can't have unjustness going on that long without nature correcting itself. And again, this is why they're giving so many passes to those in the dominant society. There's nothing they can do to go to jail at this point. White people are raping, molesting kids left and right, and getting slaps on the wrists. They're giving them autonomy to do anything. If you're a white supremacist male, you can do anything, and they'll let you get away with it. And again, down there in Texas, where the sister Pamela Thompson, I think that's her name, a black woman, a race soldier killed that woman in cold blood. And what's interesting about that, she got tased by this race soldier and she yelled, "I'm pregnant." And the minute she yelled she was pregnant, the dude emptied his clip on that woman. The minute that woman yelled she was pregnant, the guy, the race soldier, emptied the clip. Because y'all have to understand warfare. And black folks, we think, and I've seen that a lot. I've seen other videos where black women were being roughed up by the police and the black woman says, "Hey, I'm pregnant," and that makes them rough you up even more. Y'all think yelling "you're pregnant" is going to make these race soldiers be somewhat sympathetic? These people are in a racial extermination campaign. Saying that you're pregnant, that makes them want to eliminate you more because now your pregnancy is warfare. See, pregnancy from a black woman, that's warfare in a system of white supremacy. So he's going to be rewarded. He's going to get kill two birds with one stone. Y'all, sisters, I want sisters to understand, you're not going to get no sympathy from these white supremacists. They don't care about you being pregnant. They don't look at you as a victim under no circumstance. They don't look at you as a victim. And see, understand this. There's a correlation between anti-black female propaganda and anti-black female violence. Earlier this week, they had that BS trailer for that movie Loquisha circulating, where this white man was pretending to be a black woman named Loquisha. See, that was a way to demonize and dehumanize black women. And the very same week they put that out, a black woman gets shot down like a dog and there's no national outcry. Black folks, we got to be very, very cognizant of dehumanizing propaganda against us. We got to be very cognizant of that. And what's interesting, when the sister got killed, I saw this one mammy who was down there in Texas talking about, she was on social media talking about, "That woman deserved that. She shouldn't have been fighting with the police. And y'all missed me with that Black Lives Matter talk." And then we looked at her page. She was a Nigerian immigrant. There's a big coon problem coming into Texas from a lot of these Nigerian immigrants who go down there. For some reason, a lot of Nigerian immigrants go to Texas and they get right on the coon train. And I'm not talking about all Nigerian immigrants, but it seems like, particularly in Texas, there are a lot of Nigerian coons out there, and that's a problem that has to be dealt with. See, we gotta get these enemies within put in check. Because down there in Houston and in other parts of Texas, a lot of these Nigerians work in the jails there. And there, from what I understand, they act more brutal than the white supremacists. And the white supremacists, they orchestrate that. They got a lot of Nigerian people working as jailers in the systems down there. They're working as correctional officers, keeping foundational black Americans in line in the jails down there. There's a real big coon problem with the Nigerians out there that has to be nipped in the bud. These people have to be identified. There was a white girl today who was on social media and she was exposing a lot of the white races at her school. They got something called Thug Day where all the white kids dress up as black rappers or whatever. And this white girl was like, "That ain't cool." So she exposed it. And there's a lot of white kids at her school mad at her because she got off code. You're not supposed to tell on other white people. And there's another Nigerian mammy bedwinch down there. Another black student, Nigerian coon, talking about, "Those kids ain't racist. I know some of them. They ain't even racist." It's a black Nigerian. She has a Nigerian flag in her page. I posted that on my Twitter. Again, those Nigerian coons down there in Texas, I'm saying these people are a problem. Co-signing white supremacy, that Colleen Noir, that NRA coon. He's a shill for the NRA. He's down there. He's a Nigerian coon. These Negroes are a problem. You dig? Down there in Texas, if y'all get anything popping, vet the people. Y'all need to look at the folks' background. If y'all get anything popping down there as far as any type of organizing, any type of building, where y'all want to do something progressive, y'all need to start screening the folks down there and make sure you don't have immigrant coons coming through sabotaging it. You dig? Because the thing is, everybody's getting on code. And speaking of Texas, down there, a few weeks ago, I talked about this one guy, this white supremacist who was living next door to a black man, and he kept racially harassing this black man. And the black man even filed a police report against this white supremacist for harassing him, and the police didn't do anything. And the police left this man just sit up here and harass the brother. And eventually, the white dude killed the neighbor. He killed the black man. And they didn't arrest the white supremacist for doing it. They gave him a pass for killing the black neighbor. And this week, that same white man has been arrested for shooting his girlfriend. He shot his girlfriend in the shoulder. He did not kill her, but he shot his girlfriend in the shoulder. And now they arrested her. Him. They arrested him. Now they arrested him. Now, the family, and I've been chopping it up with the family of the black man. I hope they file all types of suits against the police department there because they knew that that guy was a threat. They see that this guy has a history of violence. And hopefully they use this to punish the department down there. But again, they're getting at these white women. Once the white supremacist males see they can get away with doing something to black folks, the white woman is next. Just like with Zimmerman. Zimmerman kept going to jail for beating up white women. You dig? And they kept giving him a pass. See, we got to be on top of our game, man. Another thing, with the sister who got killed out there in Texas, one thing I didn't like, the dude who was filming it, he's sitting there like, oh man, look at this. Oh man, ooh, they done popped our ass. Damn, they popped our ass. Ooh, black men. I don't want to hear videos of black men sitting around watching a race soldier beat up a black woman and particularly kill her while you just in the back oohing and aahing. I'm tired of you cowardly Negroes. I don't know who raised you. Well, I do know who raised y'all. And see, that's the double-edged sword. See, we set up and let these white women and these white feminist groups sit up and tell us that we don't need black families. We need to break these families up. You can be a strong single mother in the black community. The dad don't need to be there. And if you got a dad, you can have two dads. You can have gay dads. You can have white dads. But black families shouldn't be together. This whole anti-black family campaign, because that's all it is. That's spearheaded by the white supremacists in the LGBT community and other white supremacists. They like to come up with ways to dismantle the traditional black man and woman family. And this is where we are. This is where we are. Sisters, y'all cannot raise these kids on your own. We see the backlash that comes from that. People are attacking the children and there's no protection factor. White daddy ain't protecting you. These white feminists ain't protecting you. People are, the white supremacists are attacking you now. Nobody's helping you. These white women who sat up and had this fake sisterhood with you that they've never executed. There's never been a sisterhood from these white supremacist females. they're not lifting a finger to help you against these white supremacist male terrorists. And now that you raise these kids with no fathers, when you get beat up and harmed, your moist, wide booty sons are out here oohing and on with his skinny jeans, tongue ring, and his thong on while you getting beat up. You see? That's what happens when you go against your nature. Your nature is a family that's supposed to protect itself. See, we got to get ourselves back in the right mindset. But I'm tired of seeing these videos of these little Negroes oohing and aahing and giggling and snickering while you're getting beat up. But again, the society has created that. So we have to dismantle the monsters that we've created and getting back to nature and getting back to to the return of protecting our families. And we need the strong black male figure for that. See, y'all sitting up co-signing toxic masculinity and all this stuff. And when they use black celebrities to go after, remember the people who started all that Mute R. Kelly, these are immigrants working with the white supremacists. That's very dangerous. See, we got to be on code. But dudes sitting around oohing and on while women are getting beat up on, fellas, you understand when they do that, that's showing how weak you are and you're going to be next. See, a lot of black folks think, and I've heard black men say, well, I don't want to do nothing, I get in trouble too. I don't want to do nothing. If I do something, I end up going to jail too. If I do something, it's not going to cost you nothing to say something. If you saw that sister getting beat up, don't be in the corner quiet and snickering to yourself. You make noise. You let the perpetrator let them know that they're being seen. See, the thing is, black folks, we ain't got no problem going to jail and dying when it comes to dealing with other black folks. Now, if it's other black folks, you don't mind going to jail for beating up another black person. You'll shoot another black person. You'll die for harming another black person. You have no problem doing that. But these buck-broken Negroes, you look at white daddy harming somebody, then all of a sudden, y'all dudes get severe cases of IBS, and that's the problem. We got too many black men out here with IBS when it comes to dealing with the white supremacists and y'all dealing with white daddy. You dig? Now you get scared. Now you get scared when white daddy is standing there. And y'all know what IBS means. That's irritable bussy syndrome. Your bussy gets irritated when white daddy is doing something. Now you turn into a little old woman, tough guy. You dig? But you risk it all when it's black on black. See, we got to get over that fear. We have to get over that fear. And again, they like to promote sexual confusion. And you know, the fact that that's the only thing that they promote in black society shows you something is wrong with that. Notice the dominant white society, they don't help black folks with anything. When black folks want education, we don't get help from that. They don't help us get an education. When black people want decent housing, they ignore us when it comes to decent housing. When black folks need jobs, they ignore us when we need jobs. When black folks are harmed by race soldiers, they ignore us when we're harmed by race soldiers. The minute a black man wants to put on a dress, all of a sudden the white supremacists come out of nowhere with all the funding in the damn world. All of a sudden, you want to put on a dress. All of a sudden, they done prop you up. They got you propped all the way up. Now they want to come and support you. See, they understand that. They understand how to undermine you. So the thing is, man, we got to be on top of our game out here. When this sister got killed, I saw a lot of black folks saying, oh my God, this is so sad. See, that black woman getting shot down like a dog like that, see, that thing hit a little bit different. See, that hit different because, see, a lot of folks thought, and I've seen a lot of sisters be like, oh man, I feel so sorry for the black men out here. Oh, I feel so bad for the black men. And you see, you ain't safe either. The way they shot that sister, you ain't safe. That could happen to black men, women, and children. None of us are safe. So that hit different with black society. So you thought, okay, I'm a woman, and they wouldn't do nothing like that to a woman. They just wouldn't be so bold and brazen about doing something like that to a woman. A woman is defenseless. They don't look at you as a black woman as a victim. All of us are in the crosshairs, and nobody's coming to save us. And I've been seeing a lot of comments like, oh my God, this is so horrible. This is so sad. When is this going to stop? My God, when is this going to stop? Let me tell you something. The answer, never, if you leave it to them. That's the thing that black folks have to understand. These white supremacists are never going to stop killing you. This is a war they're in, black people. Yelling, when is it going to stop? Oh, the pain is so great. When is it going to stop? It's going to stop when you stop it. That's when it's going to stop. It's only going to stop when you stop it. The white supremacists, they've always been violent like this. The only thing that has stopped them from doing stuff like this is us. We're the ones who stopped them from doing that. You understand. During the early part of the 20th century, they would always try to do these little racial cleansings in certain cities, and a lot of times it would work. There were a lot of cities that were racially cleansed during the early 1900s. They would just start killing black people and run them out of town and then take their land. They would do this all the time. Nothing. They would kill men, women, and children. They would do this all the time. The only time they were unsuccessful in doing it to everybody and running the whole town of black people out is when black folks stopped it. Look, they tried to racially cleanse Atlanta. I think the year was 1906. They tried to pull the same thing in Atlanta. They wanted to get rid of all the black people in Atlanta, so the white supremacists started a race riot. They started killing children, women, and men. And what happened was, the pool hall guys, as Dr. John Henry Clark calls them, the guys who ran the pool halls, these were the ones who had all the guns. So they took to the streets and started clapping on police and other white people, and they shut them down. We stopped them from doing that. They said no. The white society wasn't going to stop them. They tried to do the same thing over in Texas, in Houston, in 1917, the Houston riot. They called it a riot, but what happened? These white supremacists, the word was, they were already harassing black folks, and then the word was they started roughing up a black woman. Brothers understood, when they rough up a black woman, all bets are off. So brothers took to the streets and started giving white people and white police officers that work out there in Texas, and that made them stop. Camp Logan. I think that was Camp Logan out there in Houston. The brothers went to the streets. They killed like 3-4 cops, white cops, and started getting white civilians. They went to the streets and started bringing it to their ass. Then they thought twice about doing that. You dig? Out in California, the Watts riots. The Watts riots got started because the race soldiers, the rumor was, had gaffled up a black woman. They gaffled up a black woman in Watts. Everybody went to the streets and started giving everybody a piece of that action. See, usually in black society, when once they do something to a woman, that means it's on and popping. You're supposed to get it all the way cracking when they do something to a black woman. I think out there in New Jersey, a pregnant black woman got gaffled up. Brothers start taking to the roofs of cities and started sniping cops out there in New Jersey. You understand? We stopped it. That's when it stopped. We had to stop it. Out in LA, 90s, early 90s. The Asians shot Natasha Harlings, shot a 15-year-old black girl. They got rid of that store, but then the bad blood was already there. The tension was already there once they did that. When they shot that 15-year-old, brothers got the little, that one particular store up out the paint, but just the whole tension. Now, everybody else, we were looking at them funny style. And then when the Rodney King verdict went down, they said, okay, well, it's on and popping then. Then everybody started getting a piece of the damn action. We shut it down. Now we got too much IBS out here now because we've changed the value system. We got niggas on social media now who value Instagram thotting and playing around online and being scared and trembling when it comes to challenging white supremacy. I don't want nothing to happen to me. I'll go to jail. I'll get killed. Let me tell you something. You're going to jail and getting killed anyway. You're going to jail and you're getting killed anyway. See, the thing is, we think arguing with white supremacist trolls online, that's doing something. That's one thing you got to stop doing. Because their job is to waste time. See, they understand that's a power move. Arguing with you online, that's a time-wasting mechanism. So if you're arguing with them and wasting time, you're not coming up with solutions. You understand? The terrorism stops when you stop it. You have the zebra killings in San Francisco, real talk. The zebra killings in San Francisco. Yes, indeed. Hell, in 1972, at the mosque, I talked about this before, at a mosque out there in Harlem, at a Nation of Islam mosque, they tried to run up there, the race soldiers tried to run up there with that BS and got that work. And then the whole community came out. We have to stop that. See, the thing is, we got a culture now in black society where everything is all about getting some damn attention. So when it's time to put in work, instead of putting in work, dudes want to have twerk contests. Like when I started going to Ferguson and Baltimore, I'm looking at dudes out here trying to clout chase instead of seeing what's going on with the community and how they can rectify the problems. See, we got a clout chasing culture where you value attention. And 92 and years like that, cats were out there putting in work. It wasn't about clout chasing. You go out to an uprising, quote unquote, event now, it's a bunch of kumbaya dudes passing out mixtapes, people making their butt cheeks clap for the gram. You're doing this when the white supremacists out there with tanks and military gear. You dig? So it stops when you stop it. Non-justice stops when you stop it. And understand, getting over your fear of dying, that's going to have to be the major thing. Black folks got, I'm going to die. You dying anyway. Black folks, when you walk out of your house, understand, you got to start taking the emotion out of everything. I know it's very emotional to see black folks get killed. You want to enjoy life, but hell, we ain't living in that situation no more. We're at the point of no return. When you walk out of your house, you might die. You better be prepared to die as a black person. Because, see, we festered under the system of white supremacy so long without building too many empowerment mechanisms. So we're at the point of no return right now. So we got to be in survival mode right now. So black folks, when you walk out your house, you better be prepared to possibly be killed. Like, you won't make it home. You should have it set up and you should have an understanding with you and your family, and you need to come to terms with that, and you need to make peace with that. You need to be prepared to not return home. You better be at peace with that. You better be prepared to be killed, and you better be prepared to kill if need be. Kill or be killed by defending yourself from terrorists. You better be prepared to defend your life from terrorists. Yeah, we out here playing all the time. We out here dressed. Everything is about partying and turning up. You better be prepared to get it popping when you leave your house. Black folks, we need to be prepared on how to communicate with folks when they turn off social media, because if some stuff go down, the first thing they're going to do is turn off social media. They're going to turn social media off. So that's going to be your lifeline, you think. So you better come up with other ways to communicate. You understand? That's what we need to be discussing. Cats need to start getting ham radios, walkie-talkies. What you need to be doing is stocking up on water and stocking up on food. See, that's the thing. When it comes to being prepared, see, black folks, we only prepare for BS. That's why when there's a natural disaster, black folks out in the streets begging for help. We don't stay prepared for nothing. Whenever there's a flood or a natural disaster, you see black folks out there with their babies begging for help. You better stay ready so you don't have to get ready. No, you don't even have to grow your own food. We ain't at that point right now. Y'all need to get that freeze-dried food that you can pack for years. There's food that you can pack for years. You ain't got to do that. See, we want to take the long way around. I mean, you can. If you can grow your food, that's good. But we ain't even there yet. A lot of us live in urban areas where you don't have the luxury to do that. Get some of that food that you can store. You're in a military situation. You are in a war situation. Think like that. Store food. There's vats of food you can get that will last for 20, 30 years. Keep 4 or 5 vats of that. Invest in that. Then invest in water. Get solar-powered flashlights, solar-powered radios. Get ham radios. Get all that stuff. All just have it on deck. I've even advertised with black survival companies that y'all can get in touch with. I've had them on my show. I've advertised this stuff on my show. Definitely get your weapon game up. Definitely get your weapons game up, because these white supremacists are preparing. They know that they're trying to get to the point where all these white supremacists can just go all out with it. Out here in LA, out there in Bel Air, there was one white supremacist suspect. Some dude, they pulled out a whole cache of guns out this dude's house. This dude had thousands of guns stashed in his house. This one dude. Y'all better get prepared. Y'all better be prepared now. Stay ready so that you don't have to get ready. You dig? Stay ready. Yeah, there's meals you can get where you just add water. stay ready so you don't have to get ready. They got the racial holy war going on right now. So they're getting everybody in line. That's why these abortion bans, they're getting the white women in line. They're getting real heavy with it. And the murders are going to be more brazen. The laws are just thrown out the window. It's only I'm white and I say so. That's the only law of the land right now. It's all about I'm white and I say so. And that's fully enforced. You dig? And you better be willing to die for your kids. That's another thing. Black folks sitting up letting their kids get harmed. That's one thing that you don't play at all. Let these folks kill your kids and all that. And also just killing that black woman like that. Where are her kids? I can't. Let me tell you something. Y'all sit up and execute my mom like that or my grandmother? Oh, it's going to be a problem. You better be prepared for that. You better be prepared for them to sit up and execute your mama and your grandmama like that. You better be willing to die to avenge that. We better be in a position where you're willing to die to avenge the death of your family members. That's one thing that you better get rid of that fear. That's what you're supposed to die for your family. I believe that. I just cannot sit up knowing that they've sat up and executed my mama like that or my children like that. If I knew that was, if they did that, everybody's going to get a piece of the action. And I make no bones about that. I'll die for my kids. Gladly. Because if you can't die for your kids, what use are you anyway? If you can't protect your children or avenge your children with your life, what the hell are you here for? Well, I got other kids. Well, damn it, you can't take care of them, so you might as well go all out. You going all out will protect your other kids because that shows that you mean business and that'll make them think twice about harming other kids like that. That's how I look at it. If they can sit up and harm and kill your damn kid, what the hell use of you? And you ain't do nothing about it? No, you're going to get a piece of the action. And remember, you don't die. Your spirit don't go nowhere when you do it for the right reasons. You better use that, yeah, that bookman prayer. You in a war, you better act like it. These folks are coding all the way up. They're getting these white women in order. They're getting y'all in order, black folks in order. These people are fully on code. So being scared is not an option. There's nothing to be scared of. Everybody dies. You die for a reason. That's why I always talk about the Haitian Revolution. And I have so much respect for that history because they did it the right way. One thing about them, they had a saying where you better know how to die. Don't die like a coward. Don't whimper and whine. If you're being killed, you die courageously. And that's one thing. When I studied the history of Haiti, they all stood up and they died with dignity. They welcomed it. When they got caught, they said, all right, cool. Let's get it. Let's not waste time. If you're going to execute me, let's get it on out the damn way and do it now. You understand? When you go out like that, your spirit still lives. You're still here because everybody else, that your spirit goes into them. So your spirit don't go nowhere when you go out like a soldier, when you go out with bravery. Your spirit remains. The only coons, ain't no good coon spirits going nowhere. When you die like a coon, nobody wants that spirit in them. Everybody rejects your spirit. Coons die 1,000 deaths. You understand? But when you go out like a soldier, when you die for something, everybody wants to house your spirit. That's why you don't go nowhere. That's why people love Malcolm X and Dr. King. People like that. And again, we love life. You don't want to martyr yourself, but you defend yourself with your life when it comes to your family. At least your damn family. At least. You dig? the Haitian, somebody said the Haitian national anthem is all about dying for your people. Real talk. That's the thing. We got this thing where we're afraid to die, even for our own family. I'm cool on that. No, I'm willing to go out. And the thing is, if my family gets harmed, if I go out, other people are going out too. And if something happens to me, and I've always said this, first of all, I'm not suicidal. There's nothing suicidal about me. So if anybody says I killed myself, no, I never did that. I am not suicidal. But if something happens to me unjustly, a race soldier ambushes me, because that's the only way they can get at me is an ambush. If they ever do that, knock on wood. What I don't want dudes twerking, naming the street after me and y'all twerking. I don't want that. I don't want y'all naming the street after me and selling crack on the street. I don't want y'all like, oh man, we got to pour out some liquor for Tariq. No. The only drink I want y'all to get a hold of is a Molotov cocktail. That's the only drink I want y'all to get for me and avenge me. I'm telling y'all now, I want vengeance. If y'all like me, respect me, y'all get vengeance. People are like, oh, Dr. King wanted nonviolence. No. I want all the smoke if something happened to me. Give them all the smoke in my name. All the damn smoke. That's how you celebrate my life. With a Molotov cocktail. My spirit wants all the damn smoke. Don't pray for me, spray for me. You dig? That's what I want. Anyway, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Thank everybody for tuning in and listening in. We're going to be back on Sunday. So y'all tune in Sunday again. If you have not seen Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4, go to HiddenColorsFilms.com. Also, get the movie 1804, The History of the Haitian Revolution, The Hidden History of the Haitian Revolution. Y'all get that at 1804movie.com. If you have not seen that, that's a mandatory movie to see. And again, Hidden Colors 5 should be in theaters August 1st. So we'll keep you posted on that. Y'all be good. I will holla